We are in Exodus chapter 19 as we continue the series on Moses, Follow the Fire. And this morning we're looking at words to live by. Words to live by. And the setting is this. The children of Israel have now been delivered from the land of Egypt. They've gone through across the Red Sea by God's miraculous power. They've gone through part of the wilderness, and now they are at the foot of Mount Sinai. And Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments from God. And this is the beginning before we go into the Ten Commandments. So Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possessions. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we're thinking about words to live by. And I'd like to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this kindergarten teacher who was doing show and tell, and she gave the kids this assignment and said that they were supposed to bring in something the next day to represent their religion. And so the next day, the first boy got up, and he said, "My name is Benjamin, and I'm Jewish, and this is a Star of David." And the next girl got up, and she said, "My name is Mary, and I'm Catholic, and this is a crucifix." And the next little boy got up and said, "My name's Jimmy, and I'm a Baptist, and this is a casserole." We're somewhere between the casserole and the crucifix right here. Would you agree? With maybe a little bit of Star of David thrown in there. And this morning, we're thinking about what things are the most important in our faith and life this morning. Hopefully, it's more than a casserole, but of course, fellowship is part of who we are as a family of faith. But it's Confirmation Sunday, as you know, and all these young people know as well. And confirmation is when we confirm our faith. So how many people here have gone through confirmation at one point or another? Go ahead, our young people, take a look back there. See that? They're all for you. All right? And it's a great experience, and we want it to be a great experience for you. These young people have taken this time this year as we've gone through a book, and we've looked at the basics in faith and in life and thought about that. And so, in a very real sense, when we look at this reading this morning, that's what's happening to the people in life of faith. Now, they're not young people at this point, but they've come out of Egypt, all right? And their faith has been with them, but now God is, in this defining moment, going to speak to them about how they are to live in life. And God is calling Moses to the mountaintop, and God is giving them the Ten Commandments. Now, if I asked you what the Ten Commandments are this morning, I wonder how many would know the Ten Commandments. How many would know five of the ten? All right. Two of the ten. The first one. All right. That's all right. These young people have been studying them. I'm not going to say they have them memorized, but they have an idea of the gist of that. But here's what we often think about. If I were to say Ten Commandments to you right now, what images come to mind for you? For a lot of us, we think about prohibitions. We think about do nots, right? If you're German, verboten, right? You got any verboten people out there? So don't do this. It's a set of rules. And the truth is there are a path of life for us to discover God's way. And when we discover God's way, we discover what's best for us. And in the context of the Ten Commandments, which we often forget, are these words. And I'd like to read them to you again because they come out of love. And that's what we need to realize. So I want you to hear these words of love this morning. And they're these. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of the nations you will be my treasured possession. And then on again in Exodus 20, it says this, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God is the one who shows his love to a thousand generations. Now, are those the words that you think of when you think about the Ten Commandments? If not, I challenge you to discover that today because the Ten Commandments are about God's way of love. Now, if you think about it for a moment, if you don't know all ten, the first four commandments are about our relationship to God. So we're to love God, to honor God, to keep his name, to keep his day holy, and to worship God. And the other six commandments are about our relationship to others. And our relationship to others flows out of our relationship to God. So what are those? Well, we think about how we treat our neighbor, our families, our spouse. So we're not to murder, we're not to commit adultery, we're not to steal, we're not to covet, and it goes right to the heart of the matter. And I like this version of the children's Ten Commandments or the youth. I think maybe you'll like them the best because they're stated in a real easy way. So number one, love God more than you love anything else, right? Don't make anything in your life more important than God. Number three, always say God's name with love and respect. Number four, honor the Lord by resting on the Sabbath. Five, love and respect your mom and dad. How many parents, at least parents tell their kids this one, right? Okay, so honor and respect your mom and dad. Never hurt anyone, all right? Always be faithful to your husband or wife. Don't take anything that isn't yours. Always tell the truth. And number 10, be happy with what you have. Don't wish for other people's things. When you read the news today, wouldn't our world be a better place if all of us lived by those 10 commandments? I mean, you can boil down everything that's out there. And if you and I would live by those commandments, our life would be happy and our neighbor's life would be happy. And honestly, the whole world would be a lot better off. I like this Psalm 119 because it goes through the Hebrew alphabet. So we're not going to go through it all today, but it actually goes through the ABCs, the Hebrew alphabet. And under every letter of the Hebrew alphabet talks about God's word and what a blessing God's word is and how God's commandments are a blessing to us. And I love some of the phraseology because it starts out with this, blessed, happy are they whose way is blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. And I love where it says, how can a young person keep their heart pure? By living according to God's word. And then I love this phrase right here, I run in the paths of your commands, for you have set my heart free. What great, beautiful imagery, isn't it, today? Now, if the Ten Commandments are too hard for you, Jesus boiled it down even simpler than that. So if you look in Matthew 22 and Mark 12, some of the other Gospels, you'll see this, the people came to Jesus and they asked him, you know, what are the most important commandments? Maybe they had trouble remembering all 10, right? And Jesus said this, and I think it's the most important verse maybe in all the Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets rest on these two commands. Think about that for a moment. All the law and the prophets rest on these two. I think it's like this. If we have a positive a passion that loves God, then our life is so radically changed that we're going to love our neighbors. So it doesn't mean we always agree with our neighbors. We're going to have some differences, but we love them and we're going to get along. And I think love for God empowers us to love neighbors. And I love the symbol of the cross, and our confirmands are getting a model of that cross today, a replica, and you see the vertical and then you see the horizontal. And so if our hearts are right with God vertically, then our love flows out horizontally to brothers and sisters here in our church, in our community, across the country, and around the world. And so today when you think about that, think for a moment about love your God with all your heart. So with everything that's on the inside of us, with our emotions. Sometimes we just get in our heads today and we just think about what's the right answer to this. And you know, there's theology and there's lots of great books out there, but it's got to start with our heart. Is our heart right with God? And then with all your soul. So in this time, the soul was sort of the whole interior life. And in fact, the word is breath in the Hebrew. And so we think about God breathing life into Adam and Eve and giving them life and eternal life. And then we think about Jesus when he was resurrected and walked into the room of disciples, breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And we think of the imagery of the dead bones being a breath coming upon them and becoming an army of God, an imagery of the church. And so God's Spirit is us. So we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and then with all our mind. We don't want to check out our mind when we come to church and when we think about loving God. Our mind is important. Our intellect is important. There's great Christian books out there, and engaging God's word with our mind is important. So with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind, and even elsewhere it says with all your strength, with everything that you have, love God. And when you do that, your heart and your life is radically changed in a way that is incredible. And so when we think about our beliefs today, I think it's important to think about loving God with everything that we have and how important love, heart, soul, and mind is important. You know, in the news this week, it was an unusual week, wasn't it? I mean, we started out with an incredible tragedy at Santa Fe High School in Texas, and I know your heart was broken like mine was, and some sick individual went and took the lives of other students and teachers. And some of us, you know, you just can't even break away from that news. It's so tragic. But rather than elevate the life of someone who's very sick, I think it's also important to elevate the lives of people who were heroes, people who loved and cared for the students enough that were willing, two teachers, to put their life in harm's way and lost their life. Other officers, another police officer, was willing to give his life, still struggling for his life this morning. And so there's that sacrifice of love, a love so great that it's willing to put itself, themselves, in front of harm's way to care for others. And I think of the other imagery of love that just took place, well, it's been going on for quite a while, but all this week, and that was, did anyone know that there was a royal wedding yesterday? I mean, any people, we probably, after the week of tragedy, we probably needed a royal wedding, did we not? And there's a lot of great images with that wedding. I mean, we think about on opposite sides of the pond, as they say, in over there in England. So we got England, and we've got America, the UK, and the US. And so this is an imagery of the royalty in England and sort of our Hollywood royalty here in the US coming together. That bridges the gap. For other people, too, we think of course, it's Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, but Meghan Markle, who's biracial, and so this is a chance for sort of some healing and reconciliation between the races, right? And we see someone who's part African-American being a princess, and that's a charming and beautiful story. And so we see some reconciliation there in love. But I think the biggest thing isn't that story, and those are all beautiful. It's just that sort of a magical love. We see these young people that are truly in love, and you watch them, and you see that love spilling over. And so we see a celebration of love in this church. We see people from different races and places. Love the service that it had some African-American tradition and the more stauncher European-British kind of tradition, all kind of mixed in together in this imagery of a celebration of love. And I think when we think about our relationship to God and our relationship with others, the most important thing is love. Because if we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, then it spills over into our love for others. It empowers us to love others when there is a sacrifice to be made, and it also gives us a love that we can honor someone and create a life of faithfulness with them. But I want you to think about the cross for a moment, because I think in an interesting fashion, the cross is a symbol, a reality of both those kinds of love. In the cross, God was willing to come in Christ and lay down his life on the cross in the greatest sacrifice of love of all times. And so Jesus was willing to put himself in front of the harm that would come our way, not just for a moment, not just in this life, but for eternal life. And Jesus laid down his life that we might know forgiveness and God's grace and love in a new and more powerful way than in any other time. And God offers us forgiveness and grace. And then the other imagery of love is this, that the imagery that Jesus so often used about our relationship with God is the relationship of a husband and wife coming together in a wedding where love is celebrated, and when we get to God's eternal home, we're going to have a celebration that's like a wedding feast that's like no other wedding feast ever, that we even put to shame all that wedding feast had yesterday, and it was a great wedding feast, I'm sure. So when you think about God's relationship to us, and you think about this week, and a sacrifice of love and a celebration of love, know that all that is together today. When we think about our love for God, and we think about making commitment to God, know this, that God has given us first with himself, has saved us, has redeemed us, has given us his spirit to live out each and every day. And so when we respond to God's love, that changes our life and it changes our relationships with others. I'm going to close with thinking about this for a moment, and it's the song for the retreat, the Quest retreat. And the confirmants are going to come today and they're going to give their statement of faith, and we support them in that. And I want you to know that God loves you, and that God's love is with you, but I also want you to know that you are loved by this family of faith, and we love you, and it isn't just a one-time moment. It's also time that we're going to pray for you each and every day, and we're going to wrap our arms around you, and we're going to journey through life together, all the hills and all the valleys, and the joys as well as the challenges of life, and we love you. So this is the stand, and I think it's great to think about as we begin to think about you sharing your statement of faith. You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what could I say and what could I do but offer this heart, O God, completely to you? So I'll walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me. This life declare your promise, my soul now to stand. I stand with arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrender. All I am is yours. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for this moment in the life of our youth and the life of this church. We thank you that it's possible because you laid down your life on Calvary, that we can know forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. Thank you that you love us so much that you're willing to give your life. And thank you that you love us as we walk through the hills and valleys of life. We pray that your blessing would be upon this confirmands and this church family, that we would be a people of love, people who love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and people who love our neighbors because we are empowered by your love. Through Christ's name, all God's people pray, amen.